Lecture 6, Multiple, Complex, and Changing Goals.
Well, for success in seeking win-win solutions in conflicts, there are several factors that come into play every time, and we need to understand and manage these if we're going to have a good chance of being successful. We've been working our way through these. In Lecture 4, we looked at the role of perception and how that can best be handled. And in Lecture 5, we looked at our emotions and how to handle them in a conflict. So now here we are at the third of these critical factors, and that's our goals. This lecture is a lecture about goals in conflict. Goals, it turns out, are multiple and complex and changing just like our emotions are, and they can be very tricky to work with and understand in a conflict. Once again, we'll use some examples to show how to identify and clarify goals and to clarify the different types of goals that we're having in a conflict and how to work with them in achieving win-win resolutions. So here we go on goals. We want to note that each party in a conflict, both parties are going to have goals, not just me if I'm feeling a conflict with the other person and I want something changed. That other party will have goals too. And some goals will be different. Some of them will be mutual, and we're going to need to find out what they are in order to move toward a resolution that takes both of us into account. You know, scholars, really starting from Morton Deutsch, who picked up on Lewin's field theory for his definition of conflict and worked with it from there on, scholars have used the notion of goals in defining conflict and with working through how we can deal with conflict all the way through. So the notion of goals is very much in the research, and it turns out it's a very fruitful avenue for finding ways that we can do things better when we're dealing with a conflict. If we're clearer about our emotion, our goals, we can be clearer in thinking through where we want to get to, and that's going to make it even easier to handle the emotions we dealt with in our last lecture. So thinking in terms of goals is going to help us look forward, keep us from looking backward. It's going to move us toward what we want to do and help us be rational as we move forward going ahead. Thinking in terms of goals, it enables us to help identify what will constitute a win for us. And it also, if the other person can share his or her goals, enables us to identify what's a win for that person so we can work together to get to a win-win. So working with goals is going to be very valuable. But as I said, goals are complex. And in relationships, which are complex, the goals are even more complex. Goals tend to be multiple and complex and overlapping, and then they change as we go along. So it's nice if we can think, oh, if we just know what our goals are, we can pursue that together, but it's just not going to be quite that simple. So it's more complex to deal with goals. We have several goals in any particular conflict, and some of them we're more conscious of than others. Conflict can be confusing because goals often are in conflict with one another. Sometimes I'm really angry at the other person. I want them to just go along with me on this and get in line, but I really want them to like me, and my goals seem to be in conflict with each other in that instance. The goals themselves, any individual goal may have several facets. It may be a complex thing in and of itself, so it's very hard to articulate just what it is I want in this goal because it's sort of a cluster or a group of things that's hard to describe. Goals often overlap, so that achieving one helps achieve another, or not getting one undermines achieving of the other. So they're tangled up with each other in that sense. And this multiplicity and complexity increases, like literally geometrically, when we've got our own set of these and the other party has his or her own set of these, and we try to bring them together to look for how we can get a win-win meeting all of our goals. It's just an enormously complex undertaking. And it's complex enough that it makes Deutsch's simple concept of win-win, and in fact, Lewin's wonderful theory, field theory for understanding human behavior, look kind of naively simplistic, because humans are much more complicated than that, and so are our conflicts. Still, goals is a useful idea, and we need to be able to sort them out and to work with them. You know, what I think is the very best explanation for sorting out our goals and thinking of them comes from Wilmot and Hocker in that textbook that I use so often that lays out a typology of different types of goals that we can think of, and it talks about how they relate to one another. They define a goal, incidentally, in a very operational way. They say a goal is the answer to the question of what do I want? And I can ask that question several times and get a number of different answers so I can have multiple goals. So what are the types of things that we can want in a conflict? Let's talk about those. There are four types of answers to the question, what do I want? And they represent what Wilmot and Hocker call four different kinds of goals that we have. Let's list them and then we'll explain them. Of the four, they go this way. The first one they call the topic goal. And the topic goal addresses the thing that is obvious on the surface that I'm after in this conflict. Rebecca wants something. She wants something from Jane. It's quiet. That's her topic goal. She wants quiet to study. But there's a second kind of goal that we have that they call the relational goal. In every conflict with someone with whom we're interdependent, we've got a relationship with that person. And we've got goals relative to that relationship. Those goals address the question, how do I want to be treated in this relationship? So I've got relationship goals as well. There's a third kind of goal that I have in a conflict, and it may be more important than either the topic or the relational goal. And that's what we call the identity goal. My identity goal is a little different from my relational goal. It refers to how I want to be thought of, how I want to be perceived and seen by the other person or persons in general, and it includes me, how I want to see myself. My identity goal relates to who do I want to think I am. We all have those. We're working out our identity all the time, so identity goals can be very important, and they come into play in virtually every conflict. Well, in addition to those three, and in a sense growing out of those three, we have a fourth kind of goal, and that's what Wilmot and Hocker call our process goal. The process goals have to do with what kind of process I want to follow to go through in dealing with this conflict. How do I want to go about resolving the conflict? Four types of goals then. Let's get a little better description of each type. Let's start with topic goals. Topic goals, you know, they exist on the surface. They're what triggers our awareness of the conflict, usually. They tend to be most readily identified. I wanted this. It's noisy. I want it quieter. I've got a sales territory I don't like. I want it changed. That's the topic that this conflict seems to be about. That triggers the thing. So they're on the surface. They're more easily identified. But they, too, can be multiple and they can be complex. I may want more than one thing here, even at the topic level. This is the goal, the topic goal, that's most likely to be perceived by us in terms of one of those definitions we used of conflict as being frustrated or impeded or threatened by the other party's behavior. It's the thing that brings it to mind. It's what this conflict is about on the surface, and it's not just the surface, it's a real thing that this conflict is about. So, this goal is also the one that's most likely to be perceived as being incompatible with the other party's goals. That's the topic goal. That's the one on the surface. Easiest to articulate, but still pretty complex. All right, let's go to another type. Second type of goal is the relational goal that we described. This is usually more important than the topic goal in almost any instance. Not every instance. But it's a pretty rare exception in an important relationship when what I want relative to a particular topic is more important to me than that relationship. But the relationship goal is how I want to be perceived and treated in this relationship. It's often pursued, you know, indirectly through topic goals. You disagree with me on this. I want you to show me that you care about me. I want you to treat me as an equal. And it may come up not as in general, I wanted to be treated better, but here's how I'd like you to treat me in this instance. And so the relational goal underlies, it may be the important thing, but it may be the real driver of why I want something different on the topic goal. And I want to pay attention to that. It may also be on the opposite side, competing with or in conflict with the topic goal. You know, relationship is very important. And it may be that I want you to do this my way on the topic, but I want us to still be close and I want you to still be fond of me and be treating me well, so I don't want to force you to knuckle under on this point. So the relationship goal and the topic goal may be in a tension or seem to be in a conflict with one another. And on the other hand, the relationship goal may be underlying and the topic goal might be a stand-in for it. So it's important to know what both of those types of goals are and to be able to see the relationship between them. Let's go to that third type of goal, the identity. The identity goal is often overlooked, but it can be the most important. You know, we've got some serious psychological needs about our identity. We're all working out our identity as we go through life on any given day. One of the nice things about getting older is that the intensity of working out identity at least slows down. Pretty much once we get into our 60s, we are who we are. You get what you get. But we're still working identity some. That business of how we think of ourselves and how others think of us. What is our identity to ourself and to the people around us and to the world is an important thing to human beings. And in every conflict, that identity tends to be challenged. And so what our goals are in terms of the identity issue may be more important than either the relational or the topic. And of course, the identity goal may be pursued by pursuing a topic goal or a relational goal. They may be standing in for that yet. They may be tied together. On the other hand, the identity goal may require us to choose between topic goals and relational goals. It may put us in a position where we got to choose between them. So the identity goal is important. It's a struggle, makes the situation more complex. The fourth type that we talked about is process. Process goals are sort of driven by the other three goals and the circumstance. Given what I have in those other goals, the question is, how do I want to go about trying to resolve this conflict? There's a great deal of difference in the ways that we can resolve conflicts. It would be really nice to treat everything as an equal and sit down as equals and work everything through. You can't, you may not always want to resolve that. It may be that what I want you to do is just do it my way in this instance, because my identity goal is so important, I need to feel potent and strong. So our other three goals drive our choices of processes for how we're going to do this. Now, we're going to be short talking about this one here because processes are a subject that we talk about a great deal in lectures 10, 11, and 12. So we'll give you some good processes for negotiating resolutions and expand your repertoire of processes that you can go through. But the process goal, how do I want to go about resolving this, is going to be an important one to think about. So that's our four types of goals. How do we work with it then? What we've got to do is try to identify and clarify the goals that we've got. And this is a thinking process that we want to do as we go along through the goals. To begin with, identifying these, it's very, very useful to carefully consider and then try to clarify. Here's some how to go about it. Think in terms of clear goals are going to be necessary to guide me in any negotiating that I do on this. The clearer I am about the goals, what I'm after, the answer to what I want, the clearer I can be about that across all four of those, the better I'm going to do dealing with this conflict. They're going to help me stay on target, and they're going to help me ensure that I don't sell myself short in terms of what even may even be my most important goal as I go along. Secondly, what they're going to do is they're going to make it easier for me to be flexible and to adapt to the other party's interests. If I'm clear about what my goals are here, then I'm clear also about what I don't need and how I can accommodate the other person's goals and interests without putting mine in jeopardy. So they'll make it easier for me to work with the other person. Ideally, although perhaps rarely, the perfect thing that we're looking for is for both parties to really understand their own goals and the other party's goals fully. That's what would give us the ideal, the best chance for a real win-win. So if both of us could have clarified and been able to articulate our goals, that's when we're going to have our best shot. How do you go about doing that? Well, that's the question. How do we do it? Start at the top. Start with the topic goal. It's number one, ask yourself, in terms of the topic, this thing that I see this is about, what do I want here? Try to imagine what a really satisfactory outcome of this conflict would look like to you. Answer that question for yourself and try to be able to state those answers explicitly and concretely so that you clearly can articulate what your goal is in terms of the topic. Then go to the second goal and repeat the process, only this time for the relational goals. And it gets more complex now that we've got more goals in play. Relational can be more difficult. What do I want here from this other person in terms of how I want to be treated? What's the relationship I'm looking for? Do I want to be treated as an equal? Do I want closeness? Do I want affection? Do I want smiles? What am I looking for in this relationship? And then once I've got that considered, then we stop and think how this relates to that topic goal that I've got. Does it fit with it? Is the topic goal a stand-in for it? Does it clash in any way with the conflict goal? And if it clashes at all, then I want to stop and think, well, all right, which of these two is the more important? Really important to decide what's important between goals so that I know what matters most to me and what I can have most give about. Having done that, what I would want to do is go to my identity goal. This one can be the hardest one to think about. It's really hard to think about who I want to see when I look in the mirror in the morning, but it's important to do. What I want to do is consider who I want to think of myself as and how I want that other person to see me, not only in this situation, but in general, in all situations. What's my identity goal here, and how does this conflict relate to that? How does it relate to my relational goals? How does it relate to the topic goal? And among those, let me stop and think again, which is the most important of these three? As I'm doing all of this, thinking through these goals, it's a good idea to go and do that checking of perceptions that we talked about in Lecture 4. My goals result in part from my perceptions of what's happening. So let me stop and think now that I'm thinking through and clarifying these things. Is my perception correct? How clear am I on the information on which they're based? Might I need to check this with the other person? I need to monitor myself doing this. I need to ask how I know what it is that I think I know in this particular instance. What's going on here? Am I sure? Let me check specifically for things like punctuation. Remember the concept of punctuation from Lecture 4? The time frame in which we view things, when it started and where it ended? That's important, and it really affects the way we set goals in terms of what we're responding to. So let me check my punctuation, the time frame. Let me back up and try to enlarge the time frame in which I'm thinking about this. Maybe I want to check this one with an objective third party. Am I perceiving this correctly? Because it's very important to get my perceptions relative to my goals in place as I'm checking them. And if that check of perceptions shows me something different, then I want to think through how should I adjust my goals in order to deal with that. I want to consider what I know about the other party's goals. Sometimes I can check with the other party and make this clear, but even if I can't, I really want to estimate what it is. Try using that lens model that we talked about in perception. Think how this would look for the other person. What would his or her goals be on all of those three types that we've talked about so far, topic, relational, and identity goals? What would be that person's goals in this situation? I can get some real understanding of where the other person's coming from if I really do this exercise and try to do it, and I've got a much better chance to work through a good conflict resolution if I can do that. Having done those three, then we go and look, okay, now let's talk about process goals. How do we want to do this in terms of process here? Now, as I said, we're going to talk a lot more about processes in lectures 10, 11, and 12, so I won't say a whole lot about it here. But having decided what those other goals are, I can think through how it is that I want to go about trying to resolve this conflict, or at least trying to manage this conflict in this particular situation. Okay, let's consider some examples for how this might work. I'm going to describe one to you, and then we'll do some dramatizations as we go along. We can put it all together if we think this through in terms of some specific examples now. Remember Anna from Lecture 5? Carl wanted Anna to stay and finish the work for him while he went home early. Let's think about what Anna's goals might have been. On the topic, what Anna was looking for is she wanted Carl to stay and finish, or at least go do what he had to do and then come back and help her finish. Her topic goal was she didn't want to be left there alone. She wanted help from Carl in finishing. That was what she would have wanted as a topic. But Anna also had a relational goal. She wanted him to respect her, help her as much as she helps him. She was looking for a relationship where they would be teammates and equals, and she didn't always handle the thing, if you remember, in a way that would serve that goal very well. She did it last, in the last time when she told him what was up and asked him to talk it through with her. What might have been her identity goal as she worked through that? She wanted to think of herself and be seen as a competent, helpful team player, but she did not want to see herself as a chump that could be walked over and dumped on and gotten stuck with other people's work. So she had a couple of identity goals there. See me as this, but not is that? Process goal. You know what? She identified for it in the last time we looked at her in an example when she said to Carl, you know, this is how I'm feeling when this happens, and I want to get together and talk with you so that we don't have to deal with it in the future and try to get worked out. So how she wanted her process goal for resolving it, she could articulate. She wanted to talk that through with Carl and get a solution. So if she's familiar with her goals going through, she's got a much better shot at resolving this conflict. Let's go to our married couple. Do you remember Ken and Kate? He wants to take a job out west in another city. What if Ken goes and talks to his sister, Melanie? And Melanie, let's just say Melanie's taken this course. She understands about this stuff. So she's going to help Ken sort out his goals before he confronts Kate to talk about it. How might that conversation go?
So I saw an ad for this really great job out in Denver. And you know how much I want to get out west. But I don't know how to bring it up to Kate. She's on a real fast track at her firm. I can't ask her to give that up, can I?
Depends. What's more important, getting to Denver or your relationship with Kate? And even if she says okay and goes with you, don't you risk making her miserable and both of you miserable in the process?
You're right. I don't know what I was thinking. Of course, Kate matters more.
Maybe you don't have to completely give up on going out west. She won't be at this position in her career forever. Maybe you could talk to her and the two of you could decide where you want to be in 5 years.
Good point, sis. I'm going to try that. Thanks.
All right. Ken articulated his topic goal, and then Melanie really helped him work through his relational goal relative to Kate and steered him toward looking for a win-win solution, suggesting they go after a long term kind of solution. And she reminded him that that's possible. If you think in a longer term, if you enlarge your scope in the way you punctuate what's going on, there's a possibility for Ken to get a solution over time. So Melanie really helped him sort out his relational goal relative to his topic goal, and that's probably going to be better for working this one out. Let's look at another example. Let's turn the Ken and Kate conflict around. And let's say Kate talks with a business associate, her friend Bonnie. Remember how harshly Kate reacted when we did that example in the first time, and she said, you know, you can go, but you're going out there without me. She could be struggling with a relationship goal of her own at this point and thinking she might have messed that up. And she also could be struggling with an identity goal. What kind of a friend and spouse is she being to Ken, and what kind of identity does she have at work? She's got struggles here. So how might Bonnie help Kate with that?
I can't believe you just laid that on me. Denver.
I know.
Where did that come from? He knows I'm at a critical point with my work.
Right. Well, it's not like he secretly interviewed and took the job without telling you, right? Or maybe it was just an impulse thing.
No, it was more than an impulse. But still, I guess I should think about his needs instead of just my own.
Right.
I overreacted. And I don't want to be that kind of wife, you know what I mean?
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. But I want to do what's right for both of us and be supportive.
Here's what you do. When you go home tonight, try sitting down with Ken and find out what's really going on with this getting out west thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay. And just listen for a while. I bet you can find a way to get what you both want.
Okay, Bonnie helped Kate work out a relationship. And the relationship that Kate wants is not one where Ken goes off to Denver or someplace and she stays in Chicago. And she also began to steer her toward looking at those identity goals. She does have them all, career, spouse. We live complex lives today, and Kate is struggling with that one. So sorting out those goals really is going to be helpful. That's sorting goals. Let's do some final notes. There's some additional things I want to mention relative to goals as we talk about them. We explained the four types. We looked at how can they be used to think through what we want in a conflict, and just doing that really helps. Some final notes that I want to say about this, though. Identifying goals in this sense is a rigorous intellectual effort. It requires thought and calm. It is not necessarily an easy thing to do. So I want you to pay attention to that. There's a lot of intellectual work involved sometimes with resolving conflict, and sorting out our goals is one that's important. Secondly, I want to note that this kind of mental preparation that's required to do this, the kind of thinking we need to do, is not the kind of thinking many of us do in a conflict. If I start thinking about my goals, doing that attempt at rigorous work, I'm tempted to do what most of us want to do, what I still want to do after teaching this for 35 years, stewing about the conflict and rehearsing clever things to say and all of that. So if we're thinking about it, thinking through our goals, we have to be careful not to do that. Instead, what we have to do is start from Deutsch's discovery that what we're looking for is a win-win. And even understand that that's going to be likely if we can identify our goals clearly enough. We need to be understanding that those goals that we have grow out of our perception of events, and we better be checking those perceptions to make sure that the perceptions aren't leading us in a false direction relative to our goals. As we proceed through it, through the process of managing the conflict, we're also going to need to notice that our goals are going to change as we go along. We're going to discover new things, we're going to check perceptions, and we're going to have to change them and adjust the goals too. It's not static. We're not stuck with just the goals we identified at the beginning. We'll have to adapt and recognize the new goals as we come along. Fourth, as we've seen, identifying and clarifying goals, it's not for the faint-hearted. I want to note again, and I'll note this a bunch of times in this course, it takes strength and courage to deal with conflict. And it takes strength and courage to really identify those goals and do what you've got to do and do it well to identify them and work with them. That's goals. So let's summarize where we are in this as we go now. What we've learned about goals is this. Goals are what we want to hold on to. As we move through, what do we want to hold on to from this lecture? We want to note that goals are multiple and they're changing and they're complex. They change over the process of conflict management. If we want win-win solutions, it pays to think carefully about our goals and the other party's goals and to make them as clear as possible as we go through. We want to note that we can identify four types of goals and that helps us, the topic goal, the relational goal, the identity goal, and the process goals as we go along. And if we identify the four types, that'll help us get to a clarity about our goals that we might not have otherwise had. Goals, as Wilmot and Hocker said, are the answers to the question, what do I want in each of those instances? Clarifying goals is challenging mental work. You got to be thinking hard and you got to have courage to do it, but it's really going to be well worth the effort. Okay, assignment from this lecture. I'd like to ask you to go back to the examples of conflict that you thought about after lecture one. For one of those conflicts, just pick one, the one that's best for this, and try to identify your topic goal, your relational goal, your identity goal, and your process goals relative to that for yourself, and then do it for the other party. Try to identify the goals for both parties. Specifically pull in that lens model that we talked about in the lecture on perception and see if using the lens model helps you see what yours and the other party's goals might be. Then look again if you can see more possibilities for win-win resolutions when you've understood something and you have a sense of what all the goals are. That's your assignment from this lecture. All right, for lecture 7, where are we going to go from here? We've considered the roles of perception, emotion, and goals in conflict. There's one more critically important factor that we have to look at before we can start talking about processes for handling conflict well. That's what we're going to do in lecture 7. That one more factor is the factor of power. Every single conflict is also a power struggle. Even a conflict with people we love dearly is a power struggle. So the subject of lecture 7 is dealing with power in conflict.